You're listening to Just Okay Gamers, where my brother asked me to do this intro for us here, and I'm here with three other queers and my stupid brother,
what?
Ready to pound out some ass-fucking on this stupid fucking podcast he's got.
Safe for work.
Play the intro. We're just okay and we play some games, we're just okay gamers.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, fellas.
Guido?
Yeah, sorry, my brother wanted to do the intro.
Did he come in? Is he there? Or
He was here, he just left.
Literally ran out the door so fast it blew off the hinge.
Yeah, what an asshole.
It's getting dark out, he's got to get back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty rude, actually.
Was he? I didn't hear what he said.
He called us all queers.
Well... My name is Guido, and this is Just Okay Gamers Podcast, episode 19.
1-9.
Holy shit.
I'm here with...
Wally. Happy to be back.
Hey, it's Millpool.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Nasty.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Hi.
Hey, going good.
Good. Millpool got a new mic.
He did.
Yeah. Do I sound better?
You sound sexy.
You do. It sounds deeper.
Yeah.
You're almost evil.
This is how I usually talk. You just couldn't tell before.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You guys ready?
Do you work for a sex hotline? Is that what you do?
it's not what we're doing. Are we doing the sex podcast?
Oh, sex podcasts after this.
Oh, what are we doing?
This is Just Okay Gamers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We need normal Millpool back.
Yeah, we need to bring him back. We need to dial it down a little.
All right.
You do make my panties wet with that voice, though.
Me too.
Wetter than the bottom of a boat. How's everyone's week been?
Fantastic.
Very good.
Yeah?
I finished Shadowrun Returns.
Oh, is that cross-platform game that came out a few years ago?
Yeah, I finally got around to playing it.
Like 8 years ago.
Yeah. Decade later, I finally got to play.
Sweet. Did you beat all the Xbox players?
Yeah, I sure did. All four of them. In fact, I think they actually brought the servers down like 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, probably.
Really? Wait, when did that game actually come out? Does anyone know?
It was a Games for Windows Live. It was like their launch title whenever that started.
Okay.
And then I feel like that's like 5 years old. I don't know. So, 5 years. I'll say it. 5 years, definitely.
Like, what do I look like? Some kind of a clock guy?
I bought a new mouse.
He did?
Oh, yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I did. I went out and I tried out the, what is this?
Logitech.
It's a Logitech M700S or something like that. X700S.
The granddaddy of Logitech mice, almost.
Yeah.
Sounds fancy.
It's
is that
wireless.
One of those that we looked at?
It is at PAX.
Nice.
It's wireless, but you can plug it in to be wired. And I've been running it wireless. I haven't noticed any kind of differences or anything. It's pretty sweet, except it's really slick.
Really?
Like, it's really cool.
It's probably from that was from when you were masturbating, I think.
Yeah, because I ejaculate like slickness, not stickiness.
Well, I mean, all over your mouse, if you get it early enough.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it doesn't
it's
really
just
harden
a constant,
up until later.
Constant ejaculate on top of my mouse to make it slick.
You're starting to build up a layer.
It's got about a 40-second window where it starts to turn sticky. And then I have to ejaculate onto it again.
We need to backpedal. Talking about stuff that's just wrong.
So there's been some patches.
There has been a patch.
Yeah, thanks for letting me answer about how my week was, you jackass.
How's your week? How's your week?
It was good. I got Android Netrunner. It came
so
in the
there's
mail.
Been some patches in League of Legends.
Yeah.
Just one patch. 3.10?
3.10?
Pretty big patch.
Yeah.
Right? You guys ready to fumble our way through some patch notes?
Yeah, let's stumble our way in.
As per usual.
We're just going to read it verbatim, right?
Yep.
Ash. Every single word.
Picture
summary,
of Ash.
Colon.
Red text.
It's good that you're saying everything.
Yeah, thanks for that.
So, well, let's just pick out the big ones. The big one for me, well, not really, I guess. I play TF a lot.
You do.
So he got kind of nerfed. His passive was nerfed, but kind of buffed for him personally, where he doesn't give global gold anymore per kill. He just basically every time he kills a creep, he rolls a dice and he gets either one gold or anywhere between one gold and six gold when he kills a creep. So I don't know.
But they're loaded dice, so he more frequently gets
larger.
Yeah, more those numbers.
Those dice are drunk as shit.
I'm going to miss the global gold.
Yeah, I think everyone will. It gave a little bit of a bonus, even to failing lanes.
Especially since you...
That was kind of the point, though, of them nerfing this.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to get rid of a lot of global passives.
Well, a lot of this patch was based on they want to turn everything back into individual player skill within the laning phase. Because the way that the LCS has kind of gone towards is they go to a three-man push on a one-man lane and they just down a turret or two in that lane and try to get a quick 300 gold for the whole team. So TF was just, you know, boosting that on top of everything else for the whole team getting extra gold.
Right. But Morello has stated that he wants to get rid of all the global passives eventually.
Really?
Yeah. And who's left? I mean, Janna has one. And does Zillion have one? What's Zillion?
I don't think... That's not global. That's like a single person, isn't it?
What does it do? What does Zillion's passive do?
Like undoes a death or something? Like
warping out that's his ultimate.
That's his ultimate.
Yes, it is global.
Yeah, that's what I thought. What does
increases
it do?
Experience gained by 8%.
Right.
God, I couldn't think of it at all. It's weird.
If he's alive.
So I think those are the only two left, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, so maybe we'll see reworks on them or fixes to their passives. Yeah. The other TF nerf is his... pick a card doesn't last as long. You have like a certain amount of seconds to pick it and then like 4 seconds to throw it rather than like a total of 10 seconds to pick and throw it, which is what it was before.
It's actually kind of a little bit of a buff if you think about it, because you have more time now than you did before. It's just that instead of 10 seconds overall, you get 12 seconds overall, but that's split down into defined times that you have.
I don't think it is 12 seconds, is it?
Yeah, it's 8 seconds to lock a card, and then 4 seconds after you lock a card to throw the card.
Yeah.
So if you pick it at 4 seconds, then it's only 8 seconds. But if you run it out to the full 8 seconds, then you have 4 seconds after that to give you a total of 12 seconds.
So you could still kind of... The reason they nerfed it was to stop people from bullying others with zoning them with a gold card.
Wait, so before it was only a total of 10 seconds and it was split?
Yep.
I thought it was like 10 seconds to pick and then 10 seconds to throw.
No,
I don't
you
think
had
so.
10 seconds from casting. You had 10 seconds to throw the card.
Yeah, to pick it and throw it.
Are you guys sure?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure. Okay.
I think you're wrong. But
welcome to Just Okay Gamers patch notes.
Oh, wait, yeah. Instead of 10 seconds to do both.
Okay. Maybe I'll turn it back. I think I'll say something different now.
God. Kick a man when he's down.
So you can still kind of zone them with having the cards flash above your head for longer. But I never really did that anyway. Maybe I should have. Maybe I was playing them wrong the whole time. But I always just picked the card right away and threw it because I didn't want them to know what I was going to do. You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really affect me much.
Yeah.
That's the big one for me. The other big one's Master Yi. Got remade.
Yeah, I saw you playing him a couple of times.
I did. I played him the first game. I got flipping handled.
He's a goddamn monster now.
Eh. He always was a monster. I just think that people forgot that there was an ADE because everybody was so focused on AP and how strong it was.
I saw Millpool fighting against him, and like, there's moments where Millpool did everything right, and like this guy just went in and just stomped him.
Yeah, but that's how he used to be as well.
I don't know.
How often? Yeah, but now ADE is even more powerful because his Alpha Strike builds off of ADE as well.
It does. So
it was vaporizing us.
But it lowered the amount of people you could bounce to.
I don't think that matters. I
mean, well, it kind of does.
Well, it does in terms of the pure execution of it, but he was having no problem dropping multiple targets with everything else.
Well, what they're trying to do is they're just trying to make it so you don't get the randomness, because how many times have you been standing behind a minion wave and you would Alpha Strike at the front of a minion wave and he randomly would just jump to you way behind? So now it's the four closest units. So as long as you count out 1, 2, 3, 4 and make sure you got that distance, you're fine.
Right. So
what's Millpool's? Did you see that? Did you see evidence of that?
Yeah, I noticed that, but still, like, I played two games against two different E's and just got like handled both games.
But how often did you see E before this remake?
Not much. I don't really know how to play against E. But yeah, like, he carried both games.
His AD playstyle hasn't changed.
No, not at all. They basically just got rid of AP, essentially, because his Alpha Strike doesn't scale off of AP anymore. It scales off of AD. So, you know, building a whole bunch of AP on Yi really doesn't do anything besides get you a good meditate.
Right. And his Highlander doesn't refresh if he gets a kill. It just continues going.
Yeah. And, well, it reduces his cooldowns. So a lot like Katarina, where it doesn't quote-unquote reset it, but getting a kill lowers it enough to bring your cooldowns to use them again, but getting an assist only brings it down a portion of your cooldown.
Right.
So I think he's really strong right now. Like, I'd be interested to see win percentage after a couple weeks.
Yeah. Currently, I think they said that it doubled once the patch came out. But I also think that's just people playing him again.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he really hasn't changed. Like Guido said, his playstyle is still the same as old ADE.
Right. I think it'll be interesting to see what the pros do with it too once that patch hits them.
Yeah, I was talking to our friend Orline, who was kind of participating in running the Well Played tournament, and which is like, there's
shout out to Orline.
Yeah, 32 teams. It's going on right now, August 1st through 4th, if you guys want to check it out. There are 32 teams competing for essentially two spots in North America, which is happening at PAX. And the winner of that and the winner of the Europe tournament both get to go to the next qualifiers for the next season of the LCS. Anyways, she was saying that the North America online tournament is going to have the 3.10 patch.
3.10?
Yeah. And the European tournament apparently is not running on that patch.
What patch are they running on?
3.9.
So,
by the way, Millpool, you did mention that it was well played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's well played. You'd mention that.
Wellplayed.org.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that people knew where to go.
Check it out.
She was saying that some of the teams are pretty miffed about that because the patch came out like right before the tournament started.
Yeah, well, what can you do?
Yeah.
Play the game. One big one for me is magic resist items.
Yeah, huge.
So, Bulwark got removed.
Not really. Oh yeah, it did get removed.
Oh yeah, it's
Bulwark
gone.
Got completely removed. And Locket now builds from Aegis.
Yes.
Which is so weird, but yeah, cool. Very cool.
I kind of saw something about this a little while ago. I was looking at items for some reason, and it came up. I was looking at Aegis, and it showed that Locket was above that, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. It kind of seems like a glitch, but I guess not. So, but something I do like, and I think is kind of interesting, is that they're bringing back a lot of magic resist personal items. Like there was in Season 2.
Right.
Because with season 3, they got rid of, what was that? The magic resist.
Force of nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Force of nature. So force of nature was my big item that I built on Galio because it gave me health regen, it gave me move speed, and it gave me magic resist, which in return is AP. So, you know, with the removing of aura and magic resist and more built towards personal, I wonder if we're going to see a little bit more Galio play coming out as well.
Yeah. There's a few other champs that could probably benefit from that too. And Spirit Visage got a buff and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, the gold went up, but for what you get, I think it's worth it. I could see
the gold went up 425 gold.
Right, but man, you doubled, get that health regen is insane.
Doubled in health too.
Yeah.
And it gives you 10 more magic resist now.
So I think we might see that being played like the Force of Nature.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that I also like is the Spectre's Cowl, the new item that just came out. I haven't actually played a game with it yet, but it grants 15 health per 5 for up to 10 seconds after taking damage from enemy champion. So I wonder how that's going to play out for like mid-game poke and if we're going to see that at all.
Yeah. Jungle got changed a bit.
Yeah.
They pushed back the times on the small camps again.
Again.
To stop from that early, I guess, golems experience that people were still clutching on to, which I haven't seen in many games, maybe pro games and stuff, but I haven't seen in any of our games really.
Well, I mean, just think about it advantageously. If you push a lane all the way up and you're worried about the jungle coming and you're at like, I guess it doesn't really matter. Seriously, it doesn't. I mean, who sat there at 155 and took the time to actually kill out golems and missed out? I guess it probably paid off.
Yeah, I think people were knocking them down fast enough that it was a problem that they had to move it back more.
Yeah. Well, and the experience got moved around too, so you don't have to worry about those Nunus going around and controlling the jungle quite as much and getting a whole lot of experience.
Yeah. Yeah, the game I played with Jungle Yi, I had an Udyr who was just wrecking my jungle.
He's scary, man.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. I was embarrassed in that game.
So, do you guys think that we're going to see more full camp clears on buffs as opposed to just leaving one or two lizards since they're granting more experience now?
I think so.
I think people should be doing that anyway.
We're seeing more of it already. And with that,
well, he's probably talking about jungle invades, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even so, still,
It's still a risk-reward kind of thing. Like, do you get more experience, or do you screw over the enemy jungler by not resetting his camp for him?
Right.
I think there's still, like, an argument to be made for not resetting the camp.
Yeah. I mean, overall, the experience that you're going to get is only 80 more now for both of the little lizards. So is that really worth it, I guess?
Wouldn't you rather all of the time know exactly when that buff is going to come back up rather than leave it up to chance?
I mean, knowledge is power in that context.
Especially if you get it the first time.
Yeah, like, you're in control.
Yeah, you're going to want to get it the second time because you'll know exactly what time it's going to be up.
Knowledge is power, but then at the same time, you also got to think about they know you're counter jungling. They know that you took it, so they know approximately what time you're going to be back over there now to try and kill them.
Approximately.
So they just put a warding. You know, that's the only thing. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. So.
Okay, that's basic military kind of thing. You know, knowledge is power, knowing where the enemy is, knowing, having control of the field, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, what else?
Bit of changes to Baron as well. So before he only reduced physical damage, I believe, and now he reduces magic and physical damage on the person who's tanking.
Well, it no longer affects like team fights. If a team is targeting Baron, it reduces your magic and physical damage towards Baron now, and not just your attack damage overall. So if a team is like trying to get Baron, and the tank is tanking Baron, and his attack damage is reduced, used to be reduced by 50, and that team would turn around to fight, his attack damage would still be reduced in that fight. So now it only affects your damage against Baron, not like the enemy team.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
But I also think there's something to be noted that it also reduces magic damage, because that's also why a lot of teams like to run Karthus, because his single target damage is so high that it allows you to really burn down Baron quite quickly.
Yeah, in the patch notes, they're saying like they want to, I guess, try to kind of curb people soloing Baron with like high magic sustain damage.
Yeah, like Fiddle.
Yeah.
Okay. Rise had his ranges reduced on his spells.
And yeah, but they increased his speed, didn't they?
On his ult.
Oh, yeah, his ult, his okay.
So it lets you run in there faster and get your spells off, but it's still, it's going to be hard to poke in lane, especially on 4-6.
Reducing range is reducing range.
I think that they're trying to aim towards the Rise top play right now.
Ugh.
Because his range outranges a lot of other people, like ADs.
I think they specifically said, like, in team fights, it was too easy for Ryze to stay in the back and still poke the enemy AD carry from distance. So they want Ryze to have to get up closer, since he's also, like, very tanky. Like, yeah. Ryze can be very tanky and still have a lot of burst damage at the same time. So they just want to, like, get him closer into the fight in team fights.
Makes sense. Kind of like your Akali's. You know, they're kind of in your face. So might as well play high risk, high reward kind of thing.
Well, is there anything else real big?
The turrets. They futz with turrets.
Yeah,
that's aimed at the early game push right now.
Just talk about like what Nasty was talking about before. They want people to, I guess, focus on the laning phase more instead of just roaming early with like pushing comps, I guess.
Yeah. I think this is going to really change how Worlds happens this year, because that's something that really blindsided the NA and the EU teams last year, was the push comps that the Asians were bringing. So I think that it's going to make for a really interesting Worlds this year.
Yeah. Should. It'd be fun to see what happens. It's always fun to see what happens when the patches hit the pros.
Yeah. To see how they react to it as a team. Because solo queue is solo queue. I mean, let's be real. You're not actually working as a whole team. You're still kind of worrying about yourself.
Well, yeah. One of the pros said that the only way to succeed is to study how everyone adapts to the change as they happen. That kind of, he calls it the evolving meta.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of what they talked about today on the LCS when there was a little bit of downtime. Is how the game's really evolved from season one until now. And how the teams have been really pushing the envelope and just trying different things.
I think it was Elements actually said that. He says the Asian teams adapt quicker, and that's usually where the key was.
Oh, Elements. Well, let's move on from patch notes. We spent enough time on it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Riot, for sending me those personally and no one else.
They FedExed it, like, in a copy, physical copy.
Yeah, it wasn't Carrier Pigeon this time.
Now everyone knows what that update did.
Yeah.
So no update bother. That was, like, yesterday.
You're welcome, community.
We didn't even cover all of it.
We covered enough. We're running low on time, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Real quick, LCS news. What's going on, Millpool? Take it from the LCS desk. Here's Millpool.
LCS news with Millpool.
Wait, I have to interrupt because we, once again, Guido, you totally forgot the Mumble promo.
No, I didn't.
Did you not? I think
no.
Do you want to do it at the end?
No, I'll do it right now. You need a Mumble server?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you should go to mumbleboxes.com.
Who was that?
The little kid.
Yeah, it's the little kid Nick. Hangs out.
Keeps him under his desk. A little newsy that he hires every morning.
So, yeah, go to mumbleboxes.com, get a Mumble server, talk with your friends, pay Like we have a 25 person server, I think. It's 30, and I pay $4.19 a month, which is fucking cheap for everyone to use and play and have fun with. So if you want something like that, you don't even need a 30 person. You can get a 10 person for like $2.
There needs to be an ad for mobile boxes now with like a quote, "It's fucking cheap, - Greedo."
It's also what we use to record the podcast too.
It is. So go to mobile boxes, order up your server. When you're checking out, use the promo code JustOK. You can get 20% off the fucking $2 that it costs to get the server anyway. Not much.
That's like a dollar off or something.
I think it comes free then. 20% of $2 is free.
Yeah.
Good math.
So go there, get a mobile server, and have fun with your friends and talk to them and do that stuff and stop using Skype, you stupid idiot. You happy, Millpool?
Yeah.
Millpool's got to make the money.
You wrote it down this time.
I did. So, Millpool.
What's up?
From the LCS desk. Any big happenings? Perhaps someone leaves a team? Did anyone leave any teams this past week?
It's funny you should mention it. Because, no, nothing happened.
Oh, nothing? All right.
No. Moving on.
Yeah, Vilerose left Velocity Gaming.
Well, that says everything we need to say.
Yep.
One, Velocity is doing horrible.
Yeah, they're not doing too. Like four and something?
Yeah.
Yeah, four and
not so hot.
I don't know. 10? Does that sound about right?
It's somewhere in the double digits.
Yeah. So he left. He didn't like top lane or something.
He's just looking forward to his wife and kids again. His Twitter.
I didn't know any of them were married. I knew Alex Itch was married.
By them, you're saying like every esports player who plays League?
Yeah.
They're all single neckbeards.
Do you know any others that are married?
No. Melrose is married, but he's not in the LCS anymore.
Well, Melrose? I don't have girlfriends.
Melrose Place?
Melrose.
90210?
Cricket?
What? I thought we were just naming shows from the 90s.
Briscoe County Jr.?
Party of Five?
Party of Five, oh man.
That's where Jennifer Love Hewitt got her start.
Yeah.
Dem boobs. All right.
By the way, can I make something noted here?
No.
Anybody else notice the change of the League website?
Yeah, they finally flipped the switch.
Yeah, sweet. I like it. Moving on. Sorry.
Good job, Brad McQuaid. Our resident website person. He did all the changes for the League of Legends website. No, he
didn't. Can't tell if you're kidding or not.
He didn't.
No. Now I can tell.
Or was I kidding about that?
No, no.
Were you winking?
I was.
There you go.
My butt was winking.
You can control that?
Are you sitting on the toilet?
You guys can't? Of course I'm sitting on the toilet.
You guys can't make your buttholes wink?
I always podcast while pooping.
Guido, you just had your toilet installed in your living room, dude?
Wait. Continuously or like throughout the podcast in like brief periods of pooping?
Well, you see, to get enough ejaculate built up to keep my mouth slick, I have to constantly be pooping. So it's either one or the other. I'm either having poop come out of my butt or ejaculate coming out of my pee-pee.
It's this constant enema going non-stop.
I figured out why you don't have a basement now, because you have a large septic tank underneath your house.
Exactly.
For your constant pooping.
Have you ever thought of just buying like a lubricant or something?
Like KY jelly?
Yeah.
I have thought of that. But I have free lubricant right here every 40 seconds.
It's seems like really physically taxing, though.
You know,
it's painful. Like, it's very painful.
You know what worries me more is the fact that this is going on. Like, the inflection of your voice doesn't change. So you're like constantly shitting and ejaculating. You're just conversing as normal.
I've been doing this for so long that it is normal for me.
I'm going right now. Can you tell?
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to Just Okay Gamers, folks.
Oh, man.
If this doesn't get us our explicit rating, I don't know what will. Let's move on to Elo boosting shit.
Okay. Electric Light Orchestra boosting?
Yeah. Their amps were really low. The audience is complaining. They have boosted them so the audience can hear.
That's good.
The music better.
Good.
So, do you think this sort of ELO boosting is good or bad?
It sounds good. Sounds like everyone's happy, right?
Everyone's like said, someone sticky this thread like immediately.
Yeah. And
I don't know. It's essentially power leveling, isn't it?
Well, let's give it a breakdown of what it is. What's happening? What's happening?
Okay.
Nasty.
So, basically, what this guy wants you to do is he wants you to watch his stream. And then he essentially gives you a keyword that he'll pick out from his Twitch feed, his Twitch chat. And he'll pick somebody from his viewers to duo queue with him. I haven't actually looked up this guy's Elo, but so essentially he just picks out a person and, you know, brings them up there and they play with him, which duo queues them and puts them in a higher bracket wherever he is. And then they end up getting more Elo out of it if they win the game. So to me, that sounds like you're just basically piggybacking your way through solo queue.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's on them if they choose to do it or not, right? Would you feel proud of yourself for doing it that way?
No, I think this is for all those people that we have all played with that would rather just, you know, buy something or pay some money just to take a shortcut, essentially.
Yeah.
But doesn't, I mean, if you think about it, League of Legends, like Riot, in general, kind of breeds this because they give you the option to buy Riot points, to buy experience boost, or to buy IP boost. So why don't they give you the? This is just an option to buy Elo boost, essentially.
Well, I don't know. Riot's not like promoting this, and this is nothing new. I mean, there's been lots of cases like this. But
yeah, didn't people get their accounts banned for this?
Yeah,
pro players did, right?
Yeah, like there's been pro players that have been accused of doing this before.
Well, that's different. They were actually playing on other people's accounts.
Right.
They weren't duo queuing with them.
This guy's Diamond One, by the way.
Okay. So I don't know.
So he's up there.
I don't see anything wrong with it. If the guy wants to make money and people want to get ahead that way and pay him, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I mean, but I guess he's not really paying anybody if you think about it, because he's getting paid through people watching his stream.
Oh, right.
So would you consider that getting paid or paying somebody? I don't really think so.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm even more okay with it that way if people aren't directly paying him. Like, I don't know. I just don't see the benefit. If this guy boosts you into Diamond and you're actually supposed to be in Gold, like once he stops duo queuing with you, you're just going to be outclassed anyways.
Yeah. And you're going to drop down to lowest division.
Yeah.
So what he says here is, I guarantee you'll gain at least 1 to 2 divisions by following me. I'm a great teacher, but you just have to understand 2 different ways of learning from me. If I'm trolling, close your eyes for maximum benefit. Otherwise, you can learn how to climb the divisions in no time. Okay. So,
well, if he's going along and actually like trying to teach people, then it's just a guy that's looking to help people move up in their divisions.
Yeah. I mean, I guess is that really different than what we do with our friends?
It sounds to me like he's not going to carry up a bronze 5 up to fucking platinum. He's just going to bring a bronze 5 up to bronze 2.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, because it just says two divisions.
So that's not as bad, I guess.
He'd have to queue like hundreds of games to get someone up, you know, tiers.
Yeah, true.
So
it's almost like rent a friend in a way. They can get one.
I don't think it's hurting anyone.
Me either.
Okay, me either. Let's move on.
Thanks, Timmy.
Who was that?
That,
was
that little kid under his desk again.
Or Jimmy.
I feel bad for what his he name has is to Mike. Watch constantly.
that little kid is exposed to you, like, ejaculating and shitting.
Constantly.
Maybe he's running the machine.
There's no machine.
He just collects it with his hands.
He is the one.
He is the machine.
One day I'll be free.
Oh. Anybody see this cool new skin from Sejuani today?
No.
No.
It got released today, the Bear Calvary Sejuani skin?
I did not.
It's pretty sweet. Go check it out if you guys get a chance.
Okay.
Sorry to distract. It's pretty sweet looking, though.
No problemo. And that's that for League, right?
Yeah. General Gaming.
Yeah. All right.
Hi, I'm Guido. This is a segue.
General Gaming. We got, there's some big news, big hubbub for all you MMO fans out there in Ladyland.
all you out there in MMO-verse.
Sony Online Entertainment is having a big conference right now, or what is it?
It's convention? Their fan fest. It's SOE Fan Fest. They call it SOE Live now.
It's a poor man's BlizzCon.
It's a very poor man's BlizzCon. It always has been.
Yeah. But they are planning to unveil EverQuest Next, which will be essentially
EverQuest 3, I guess.
Yeah, it's not really a sequel, but whatever. It's the new EverQuest. And there's a lot of hype building up around it.
Lots of hype.
And I guess it's because it's been going on for some time. It was announced in 2010 is what Wally told me earlier.
Yeah, I guess one of the previous SOEs, they hinted at it. In one of the biographies of the developers from SOE, I think one of the original guys from Vanguard or something, he mentioned it was on the drawing board in 2009. Started, went into development around 2010 and has been in development for the last 3 years.
Okay. So it's been around a while.
No one's really paid attention until now.
Until they said, hey, guys, in like 3 days, we're going to show you a bunch of stuff about this game we've been working on.
And scuttlebutt is they're farther along than anyone would have even thought of. And they're going to go into beta soon and it's going to be launched before the end of the year.
That's all rumors, though. So they are going to unveil and show us hopefully some gameplay and maybe have a release date. This is all tomorrow, which is what, the 2nd? The 2nd of August?
Yep.
At like 3 Central or something, I don't know.
Get on the hype train. I really want to read this quote again from the reporter from 10 Ton Hammer.
Go for it.
Are you guys familiar with 10 Ton Hammer? They're probably one of the forefront of the commercial MMO news sites. They're pretty popular.
Yeah, I checked them out anytime I venture into an MMO for a brief period of time.
But this is a column saying directed towards people who be either watching the cast or physically at the event. And he said, I don't care how hungover, sick, tired, blue, and tattooed you are that morning. You have to be there for that unveilment or announcement. And if you're not, you're going to wonder why everyone else in the convention is walking around in a daze with a slack-jawed look on their face for the next few days. Yes, the shock really will be that great. While we can't say anything about what we saw right now, I will clearly state here that I predict EverQuest Next will be as much of a game-changer as the original EverQuest ever was. Feel free to quote me on that at any time.
EverQuest is going to suck your dick while you play it.
you're in luck then, Guido, because then you don't have to worry about getting a machine anymore.
Well, no, I still need to put it onto my mouth. You know, make it slick.
Okay, so you'll have to come up with a way for EverQuest to export your jizz. Got it. Could I, just to make a note on what Wally was saying earlier, the 2nd of August at 3 p.m. Eastern is when the unveiling's going. 8 p.m. Eastern is when they'll do a little bit of going through the world and how players are going to interact with it. And 4 p.m. Eastern, they're going to be going into some class details and stuff like that. So basically all of tomorrow, if you got spare time, tomorrow or Saturday, if you got spare time, go and check some shit out. It's pretty sweet.
No, not if you have spare time. You fucking, if you're in the hospital getting chemo, you should be watching this.
Yeah, yeah, just put your phone onto Twitch, and I'm sure it's going to be up there in one of the feeds.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, these past few days have been just like speculation after speculation on what they're going to reveal, and it's been fun because it's just been, for me, like a nostalgia fest.
Yeah, totally.
Just going back, remembering everything that EverQuest offered, the original EverQuest. EverQuest 2 is a piece of shit, in my opinion.
Yes, it is.
And just like watching videos of old EverQuest and raids and Butcher Block Mountains and all that stuff was cool to see again and to relive and to share the experiences with other people on, like, you know, the Reddit subreddit for EQ Next and stuff. And that was just a neat experience. So I think a lot of people are kind of falling for the hype. Myself included, although yeah. I'm really skeptical.
I have absolutely zero confidence that Sony can execute this competently, but I still want to believe.
Yeah, I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than let down, which, I don't know. I don't want to say that I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's all speculation until tomorrow, and we'll see, and we'll have more, and we'll probably talk about it next week, what they reveal. Anything we say now would just be us making stuff up or talking about rumors that we've heard. So that's that. Tune in, especially if you're an EverQuest fan. And again, I'm sure we'll be talking about it next week. What's next, guys?
Can I kind of add on that? So I never really played EverQuest, but I played a lot of World of Warcraft. And I think that EverQuest was just before I really got into gaming. And I can also say that I'm, like, really excited for this to come around. I don't know if it's just because I kind of, like, missed the whole MMORPG thing. And Guild Wars kind of didn't do it for me.
Yeah, you're jumping in the latter half of the timeline, really.
Yeah. So I'm really excited kind of to see, hopefully this is, you know, what... Well, EverQuest was, and but better. And
I know what you're getting at. At the same
time, what led to everything that made MMORPGs what they are now.
I know what you're getting at, but I do have to say that Guido might back me up on this. I don't think the experience ever been really successfully replicated.
No, it hasn't. It was so, I mean, for lack of a better word, it was so hardcore.
It's lightning in a bottle for Sony. I don't think they even knew what they were doing.
And every new IP, every new iteration of an MMO has just like kind of dumbed down what EverQuest did for me at the beginning.
You know, a good analogy, Nasty, would be like almost like pioneering a frontier. I mean, they didn't have, there's no safety nets. Everyone literally counted on everyone else. There was no like guarantee to get a monster. You had to camp it with other people. Some classes had buffs that really helped you, and you had to like haggle with people and ask them for help to give them to you. Pay them and stuff. It was done like a business transaction. Like nobody was angry.
Well, and I feel like that's what early World of Warcraft essentially was like, but then it really got dumbed down because there was the whole
Warcraft
day.
Was a crib compared to early EQ.
Okay.
Yeah, there were corpse runs where you. Like, you didn't just turn into a ghost, you respawned with nothing, and you had a certain amount of time to get back to where you were to get all your stuff back, which a lot of times you were in the bottom of a dungeon and you had to run across a continent to get there, and then have either someone summon your corpse to the entrance or try and figure out a way past all the creeps to get to the bottom of this dungeon to get your stuff back.
I mean, it's a matter between losing several hours or sometimes even losing several days.
Right.
See, that is something that I look forward to. just hearing that, because that's what like threw me the most away from Warcraft was how easy it all became and everything like that. So
yeah,
I'm excited about
even a game like it really right now. I hope they say they're going to stay true to it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. It made me want to try and reach out to some of my EverQuest friends, but I have no idea how to track them down from when Skype. I was like fucking 12 years old.
And I know we're making it sound awful, and in some ways it was really hard, but because of that interconnectivity and that newness and like you were wandering around making your own adventures, you really connected with people. I mean, you needed each other. Guilds meant something. That stranger on that road that helped you out could end up being like your best friend you'll game with for the next 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of people that I still have that I have on my friends list in Skype that I played a lot of World of Warcraft with
WoW,
picked up.
Early WoW, I know you're seeing the disconnect, because I know you're talking about new now WoW and early WoW. The difference between WoW now and WoW then. How now, Brown WoW? Between old World of Warcraft and new World of Warcraft, I know it's what you're getting at. It's a little bit like that. Like that whole the connectivity is completely lost in current World of Warcraft, where you just get thrown into a dungeon with strangers, and even if you make friends, they might be from a different server, and they're gone once the dungeon's done.
Yeah,
so it's the worst of the worst.
That was the worst thing I think that Warcraft did.
So on a very minute level, early Warcraft, where you like met somebody and you're trying to do a quest together and get them done, you build that connection.
Yeah, back when you had to go sit in a town for like an hour just to try to pull a five-man together.
Magnify that tenfold, and that's kind of the EQ experience.
Perfect.
Yeah, that experience I talked about with like going into the dungeon to get your corpse back. Like you might meet two or three people that'll help you fight your way down to the bottom, and it could take like an hour or two.
And people would do it.
Yeah.
The necromancer would walk by and offer to carry your corpse back, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was the epitome of social gaming for me. And
hopefully Sony can pull it off.
I think that's why Guido and I are so like scared and yet hesitantly positive, because even the name of the EverQuest, the IP, evokes that kind of nostalgia.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brief. Let's do two little briefs. That board game.
Microsoft's huge. I think we might shelve that for...
Yeah, Microsoft. Oh, yeah, let's save it for next week, huh?
Yeah. It's not like a time-sensitive kind of thing.
Yeah, we're kind of running a little late. The board game that we talked about last week with Nels Anderson, who thank you by the way, for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, we talked to a developer last week, and it was really cool.
Yeah, lead designer of Mark of the Ninja, Nels Anderson.
Mr. Anderson.
But we talked about a board game that failed in...
came to Atlantic City.
Yeah, it didn't fail in Kickstarter. It actually did awesomely well, but they never made it. Right?
Yeah.
Correct.
So, go ahead.
The company, from what I gather, the company that... said that they were going to make it, has fallen back, and then the people who created the game say that they are still going to get everyone copies of the game out of their own pocket, even though they weren't involved with the initial Kickstarter promo.
So what happened is they bit off more than they could chew. I think they saw dollar signs and they wanted to go bigger than what they had first initially anticipated, and that didn't work out how they wanted it to, which sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why there's things out there like the Better Business Bureau has a committee that you can literally go to and bring a business plan, and they'll look it over and they'll tell you whether they think it's gonna do well or it's gonna fail.
That's a really good point, by the way. Not many people actually think about that. That those guys in the Chamber of Commerce too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's people out there that are out there that will help you if you really want to start a business. You just have to go out there and put in the legwork and talk to these people and get their advice, because they're people that did it all. They own their own business. They're entrepreneurs, and now they're trying to impart their wisdom on you so that way you don't make the same pitfalls or hit the same pitfalls and make the same mistakes that they did.
Yeah, I've heard the Better Business Bureau is just a cash grab, but that's not really relevant.
In terms of the advertising function of it, yes. They actually have there's an information alarm where they provide insight and advice, like Nasty said. But for companies that are already established and know what they're doing, want that BBB rating so they could advertise it, that's where the cash grab part comes in. Mostly the ability to have that plaque on the wall.
Yeah. It's like expensive Angie's List.
Yeah, essentially. Except for Angie doesn't give you fucking business advice if you ask her.
That fucking whore.
Fun fact, Angie's List is based out of where I'm at right now.
She might suck your dick, though.
No, I'd rather not.
That wasn't fun. What was just a fact.
It's local. My hometown pride, Angie's List.
It sounds like with this board game, this company, Cryptozoic, just kind of stepped in out of nowhere and said, like, we'll fund the game and ship it to everyone who backed the Kickstarter, which is really cool. Like, they're not making any money from the Kickstarter. They're actually losing money because they have to produce all the assets.
Huge PR move, though. Huge PR move.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know if Cryptozoic was the original company that they were going to produce it with before they decided to try and go off and make their own company?
No, there was two guys who made the game. I don't have their names in front of me. But
it's Bill Williamson and Max Maxington.
Yeah, that's it. Google those names. These two guys, or maybe it was just one guy, kind of created the game, like intellectual property, had the game made, essentially. And I guess, I don't know if he approached the guy who started the Kickstarter or if it was vice versa. But the guy who started and ran the Kickstarter was not involved in making the board game. He was just like a business guy. So he started it using their intellectual property of the board game. And he kind of promised, essentially people thought they were just going to pay money and get the board game. But the guy who started the Kickstarter took all the money and tried to start his own business with the money instead of just like using the money to make the board game, which is where it failed. So it's still pretty shady. Like, it's cool that the people, I mean, it's awesome that the people who backed the Kickstarter are actually going to get what they paid for, basically because of the goodwill of this company.
Like I said, goodwill and a great PR move.
Well, and I mean, think about it from Cryptozoic's standpoint. $122,000, almost $123,000 was raised from, I don't know how many people donated money. So now it's like, if somebody else has an idea for a board game and they were one of these people that donated, now they have somebody that they can go to and possibly bringing up more, you know, business for them.
I'm pretty sure that was one of the major reasons they stepped forward.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it has to be, like, they're losing money on this. So it has to be all just public relations and hopefully future business. But it's still really awesome to read that story.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure.
This podcast is brought to you by the Better Business Bureau.
Seriously, I've heard like that organization is really bad and that they like fleece people.
It depends.
They'll say bad things about businesses specifically to get those businesses to pay them say bad things about them.
Maybe you should report them to the Better Business Bureau.
I could really go into detail on that, but I won't. But I mean, I work in that sphere. So I could tell you that it's labyrinthian. So saying that they're bad is true, but also it's like there's so many arms of the octopus. They're everywhere. That there's good chapters of the BBB. There's bad chapters of the BBB. And like I said, they offer consultation services, but their main bread and butter comes from businesses simply wanting to be listed, so it is a cash grab. And there's divisions that do advising counsel. It goes on and on. Anyway, that's it.
Cool. Fez 2 got canceled. Who gives a fuck?
Does anyone care?
The developer flipped his shit on Twitter and then said it's over.
Yeah.
But we are going to try and play a game.
A new game.
Yeah, a new game that we just made up like 3 minutes before this podcast.
Sick.
No, you don't do it for sick. You do it for sucker.
All right. What do you do for sick?
You just go sick.
Sick.
What do you do for sucker?
You go sucker.
Yeah.
It's an inside joke. Sorry, folks.
Anyway.
I'm not even in on it, so.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Nasty.
That's how inside it is.
So, what this is, as far as I can tell, is we're going to play Mad Libs pretty much. But I wrote a short paragraph describing like a character for EverQuest 2, and everyone's going to kind of fill in and pitch in their own blanks, I guess, as I give them direction. And then I'll read out Millpool, Wally's, and Nasty's description for the character that they're going to make in EverQuest. And then Millpool made one, right?
Yep.
Sweet. So should we do yours or mine first?
Let's go with yours.
Okay. I'm going to go to push to talk so you guys don't hear me typing like crazy. 1 second. There we go. Okay. So I'm not going to give you guys, I'm not going to tell you who we're working on or where this fits in into the thing. Just going to ask for stuff. Okay?
Yep.
Sounds good.
What's the order?
It'll go Wally, Millpool, Nasty. So, okay. Wally, give me an adjective.
A flabby.
All right. Millpool, give me a noun.
Cat.
Okay. Nasty, give me like a profession.
A blacksmith.
Crack dealer.
Wally, give me a number.
1 million.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a big number, Wally.
That is really big.
Good job.
Millpool, give me your first pet's name. Fucking Simon.
Yeah, you know this already. Don't you?
Yeah, it's Simon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
What was Simon?
A cow.
A cat, okay.
It was a cow. And you named him Simon Cowell.
All right. I'll see you guys next week.
Nasty, give me the model of the last car you own. Not the current one, but the last one before this one. Not the make, the model.
240SX.
Oh, fuck that.
Oh my
work.
God, really?
Yeah.
All right.
How about mine? You know, do mine.
All right, what was yours?
Sunfire.
Yeah, and just give me his next one.
Okay. Jesus, an object, Nasty. Probably something you'd hold.
A dildo?
Yeah.
I hold dildos.
Adjective for...
Is that the computer thinking?
Yep.
Is that what your computer sounds like?
I'm just trying to spice it up with random noises. Because this can't be good for the audience.
No, it's pretty bad podcast.
It'll get really good, though.
Yeah, you guys go faster.
How many questions are there?
Hey, this is just like Circle Jerk, so we got to be quick with it.
Yes.
There's two more, and then we're done questions. With one person.
Well, okay, so shut up. We're good. No, we'll just do it all once.
Adjective, Wally.
Sexy.
Verb, Millpool.
Run.
Okay. Now, adjective, Nasty.
What the fuck's an adjective? Stiff.
Okay, noun, Wally.
Building.
We know the order, just shout it out.
Profession.
Is that me?
Yeah. All the games go in the same direction, always. Wow. A profession, it's not hard. What do you do?
Gynecologist.
Good one. I like that.
Yeah.
Number.
12.
Favorite or the brand of underwear you're wearing?
Fruit of the Loom.
Favorite dessert treat, Millpool?
Coconut cream pie.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not favorite. It's up there, though.
Yeah, that's gross.
Object.
Speaker.
Adjective.
Jovial.
What the fuck does that mean?
Happy. It means joyous.
Yeah, joyous.
Gay.
Verb.
Yes, it is gay, actually.
Dance.
Nice snap. Okay, quicker. Adjective.
Jesus.
Diffident.
Nasty.
Flexible.
Noun.
Ball.
I can only imagine a flexible ball.
Profession.
Prostitute.
Fisherman.
Prostitute.
Wait, it was me.
Yeah,
I think we're shouting him out now. I think.
Yeah, just shout him out.
Oh my god. Millpool loses again.
He didn't catch on to that. Like Nasty and I just throwing shit out.
Number
12. Four. 15. I already said 12.
Four.
Yeah. Ugh, eat it, Nasty.
I already said 12.
Favorite cartoon character.
Ash.
Homer Simpson.
Ash Ketchum, dude.
Homer Simpson.
Come on, I was first.
Yeah, but yours is dumb.
Fuck you. You're dumb.
Ash could be anything.
I gotta catch them all.
Restaurant.
Denny's.
Good.
Yes. Ew.
Fuck you guys.
I'm with Denny's. I like that one.
Fuck Denny.
Object.
Penis. Denny's. Spike.
God, Denny's.
Denny's penis.
Adjective.
Verdant.
What'd you say?
Verdant.
Verdant?
You, Wally, always coming up with these fucking trickster words.
Verb.
Fuck.
Ian.
Okay, that's enough.
We done.
All right, you want me to read this?
No.
Yes, read it. Just read it.
Not, thanks for tuning in. We're done. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Just Okay Gamers.
All right, for Wally. Wally's first. Born and raised in the streets of Flabby Catville, a man practiced the art of blacksmithing since he was the age of 1 million years old. His name is Simon Sunfire. Wielding his mighty dildo of sexy running,
yes,
he ventures forth to fight the evils that invade Norrath. That's it for Wally.
Good, I like it. Nice. Awesome. My weapon's a dildo.
Yeah, of sexy running.
Sexy running, man, that's great.
Dude, when I hear sexy running, I just think of boobies flapping everywhere and butts jiggling back and forth.
Yeah.
All right, here's Millpool. Born and raised in the streets of Stiff Buildington. A man has practiced the art of gynecology since he was the age of 12 years old.
Yeah.
His name is Fruit of the Loom Coconut Cream Pie. Wielding his mighty speaker of jovial dancing, he ventures forth to fight the evils that invade Norrath.
Wow, that actually kind of worked.
Yeah. And now Nasty.
I feel like mine's going to be stupid.
I think they're all stupid. Born and raised in the streets of Flexible Ballville.
I like my flexi balls.
A man has practiced the art of prostitution since he was the age of 4 years old.
Hell yeah.
His name is Homer Denny's. Wielding his mighty Denny's penis of verdant fucking.
Yes!
He ventures forth to fight the evils that invade Norrath. Good job, guys.
Sweet.
Those came out really good.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That was my idea.
I enjoyed it.
Good idea.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to do mine?
Yeah, let's do yours.
Yeah, we got to be quick on it.
All right.
Circular.
Nah, we're good.
No, we're good.
We'll go like 10 minutes over.
Circle jerk style.
We got to see this through.
No, I'm saying circle jerk style. We got to be quick on it.
Mine's just one story. There's not going to be separate stories.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
So which one of you wants to be the star of the story?
Like Guido, since he did the character last time.
Right.
He
read all of ours. That's good. Okay, but you guys can just shout out. Something you'd say when you're surprised.
Fuck.
Gadzooks!
I'll combine the two.
Fucking Gadzooks.
Fuck Zooks.
Wait, I should go to push talk. Just a sec.
Yeah, you should, because when you type, it sounds like there's a fucking tornado or a thunderstorm running through your fucking microphone. Literally through it at your face.
All right. Name.
Bill.
Okay. Number.
12.
20.
2012.
Yep.
2012. verb.
Pleasure.
Puking.
Pleasurable puking.
Anorexia? Anyone?
I don't know if it's really pleasurable.
They do it because they feel good about themselves.
Yeah, but pleasure the act only isn't pleasurable.
Well, actually, pleasure in the sense of a verb, like I pleasured myself.
Yeah, well, I'll pleasure your puking sensation.
Okay, what? Plural noun.
Buckets.
number.
2.
So let Wally get that one.
Noun.
Glass.
This is going to be as funny as Guido's. A verb.
Stabbing.
Something you'd shout in victory.
My
goal!
What was Guido's?
My balls.
Excelsior.
You shout my balls every time that we win a match of league.
Yeah, you guys never hear that?
No.
My balls.
My balls.
Body part.
Balls. My balls.
that was just asking for it.
That's what he said.
Plural noun.
Cards.
And a number between 1 and 100.
50.
God damn it. All right.
Should have made it smaller.
1 million.
No, I just thought it was going to be funny.
No,
all right.
No.
It's always funny. No.
Guido sat down to play a game of League. He started the law client and was greeted with an unexpected update. Fuck Zooks, he exclaimed. What could this be? It was the new champion, Bill. Guido was so excited he bought the new champ right away. It cost 2012 IP, an experimental price that Riot decided to try out going forward.
That's cheap.
Yeah. The new champ had some interesting abilities. Their passive allowed them to pleasurable puke enemies every other attack. Their Q hurls buckets into the air, raining down on enemies, dealing magic damage. Their W shoots out two projectiles of glass at the enemies in rapid succession. Their E allows them to stab, which confuses the enemy, aiding in an escape.
Why did I get stabbed?
Finally, their alt, they shout, "My balls," while flailing their "my balls" wildly. Shooting cards.
My balls!
Shooting cards in a circle around them, stunning all enemies caught in the fray, and dealing magic damage.
Ball sack is flying over.
Guido was in awe. Finally, the champ he has always wanted to play. However, after several weeks, with a win percentage of 50, Riot decided some changes are needed.
Why would they change it at 50?
I don't know.
Because they always do.
I was hoping for a different number, like 1 or 100 or something. Well, that was a good story.
It was a good story.
Someone should draw a picture of that champion, Bill. The champion, yeah. Bill.
Specifically, his alt running around screaming my balls while showing his balls and throwing cards everywhere.
Throwing buckets?
He sounds like the hobo down the street.
We just cleaned out a hobo shack.
His alt should be called the government.
All right.
While holding my balls and giving out cards?
The government.
Good games, guys.
It was good game.
We'll need to cinch it up in the future.
Yeah, a little slow, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hey, let us know what you guys think.
Yeah. I spent where? New Orleans, all right.
To do that,
I kind of liked it. Yeah.
You guys can check us out on Facebook at Just OK Gamers. You can follow us on Twitter at Just OK Gamers. You can email us at justokgamers@gmail.com.
Yeah, I know. Why are you telling me this?
Yeah, I think we get it, man. I set most of those up. No, but do that, and send us some questions for soon. We're probably going to do audio questions soon, maybe next week or something.
Yeah, we got a couple of email questions as well that we're going to hit on in the future.
Yeah.
Hopefully next episode.
So send us some stuff and draw us a picture of Bill with his balls out.
Yeah, we'll put that on our banner if you guys do it.
Yeah, we totally will.
I will.
Yeah.
I'll put out my banner at least.
I can see this champion in my head. The champion selects screen chat when you choose it. He goes, I don't know where I am.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. And maybe we'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.